Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
10:36, 30 degrees on CCO, the flagship home for Minnesota Timberwolves basketball. It is the Timberwolves Allen Show. Postgame to the postgame, give us a call, 651-989-9226 in the Twin Cities Metro, or 866-989-9226. That is the toll-free line. Text us, 81807. Minnesota over Portland tonight, 112-96. Andrew Wiggins, a big night. Karl Anthony Towns, Derrick Rose, Robert Covington. They had a lot of guys step up in the victory. And John and Allen still on the line with me. And guys, one thing that certainly made it for a festive night, a colorful evening, it was the city uniforms that were unveiled, a tribute to Prince with purple and black. I'll tell you what, those things are sharp.
Yeah, they were super sharp. And I thought the whole night, the Timberwolves Live Entertainment and Programming Department just did a fantastic job. I mean, Allen, you can speak to the intros. You were in there for those, but just everything. This literally, to me, felt like one of the games that I was going to, you know, when I was in college, when you had celebrities sitting, you know, on the court side, when you had players from other teams sitting there. There was just a great buzz about this game. I think certainly that the City Edition uniforms played a big part in that, but everything, I mean, walking through the back hall, and it's like, oh, there's KG. Oh, there's Troy Hudson. I mean, I was having flashbacks to teams that that I grew up watching walking through the back hall, and the atmosphere was on point with that as well.
The purple color is just it's illuminating. It pops. It is just brilliant. I was mesmerized. I love watching the guys warm up before the game, regardless of what they're wearing. But Cat had on the purple, the shooting shirt that all the guys wore that came out.
Those are sweet.
Boy, is that a good-looking shirt. I mean, it's just everything felt a little bit different. I loved the hue of the arena and the lighting they used and the purple script and everything. It just everything had a nice little, instead of white, it was more of a purplish. And on purpose, I know. But it just made it, I think, gave a softer look to the place. I thought it looked fantastic tonight.
You know, and I thought it was funny, too. Before we were joined by Ed Pinckney, he was just raving to you at halftime about how much fun that first half was.
Yeah, and you know, even pregame, I was talking off the air with Tom Thibodeau about the uniforms and the purple. I mean, I've never seen him like that, not friendly is not the right word, but that excited about these jerseys. He loves them. He said the players love them. They love the darkness. I mean, is it a dark purple with the purple on it, or is it sort of black?
It's like a blackish gray almost.
All right.
He's almost like a cobalt, if you will.
And Tom Thibodeau was talking about his nephews already wanting jerseys and all the different colors and all that they want. They want a purple hat. They want a purple jersey. They want a purple shirt. They want everything. You know, in sports these days, it's big business. You know, it's merchandising, and that's a huge revenue stream. And when you can create things that people want, it's obviously enormous. But I saw so many. I couldn't believe all the people, even by Monday, who had. I mean, we just started selling these things like a week ago, and they have completely almost sold out of them. You see hats, you see jerseys, you see the shirts all over the place, the T-shirts. I mean, it's really impressive, and I think it's a great color. It's a great look. It embodies what I think this city and the music scene is all about, and it's I feel like it's long overdue, even though it's just a tremendous idea.
Yeah, and that was my takeaway too, Allen. As I looked around the arena, I saw so many people wearing the colors, sporting the colors. I thought it's almost like these were the everyday colors of the Minnesota Timberwolves. So
that's,
certainly anything
that's not a bad
connected,
idea right there. I think a lot of fans would be into making that your primary, one of your primary colors.
I want one of those hoodies. I saw somebody wearing a hoodie. I said, that's pretty sharp. And if you tie your wagon to Prince, usually good things will happen. By the way, celebs in the house. John Folkey mentioned Kevin Garnett, the greatest Timberwolf of all. It was good to see him in the building. Justin Morneau, the former MVP with the Minnesota Twins. How about three members of the Minnesota Wild? Mikal Granlund, Hanlund, Marcus Foligno, and Nino Niederreiter sitting courtside as well.
Nino had a goal last night.
He did. And I was sure that Justin Morneau, who grew up in Vancouver, was probably going to be in a salty mood because the Wild beat the Canucks, but he appeared to be happy the Wolves were winning.
Well, yeah, that's because Andrew Wiggins, yeah, the Toronto native, and then, of course, Sauce Castillo. Nick Stauskas, also a Canada native as well. So Morneau got to watch some countrymen.
Canadian hoops. All right, guys, we have a phone call. Let's go to New Brighton. Mazur, you're on the Timberwolves Howland Show.
Hi, thanks for having me on, guys.
What do you got, Mazur?
I was just hearing you guys talk about the jerseys and all. I mean, I think the Wolves did an amazing thing to bring back those old retro jerseys as well as these Prince ones. I think it's I saw a comment about Derrick Rose saying how much he admired and loved Prince and how much it meant to him to wear these type of jerseys. And even talking about the atmosphere on how the Wolves are after the Jimmy Butler trade, I mean, I feel like we're on a rise. I feel like just the way that the guys are playing, Karl Anthony Towns, Andrew Wiggins is being more aggressive. I feel like they've really found a unit that will really take them to the next level, especially on how people thought that they were going to do this year.
Yeah, I think that's a great call. And you look at the Western Conference, I mentioned this on the postgame show. I think probably with the exception of Golden State, although they have some turmoil perhaps within them, but they're in a separate category. Everybody else in this Western Conference, John, is beatable. There's no reason someone can't put together a run, start playing together, and believe and end up. You know, the Wolves were the number three seed. They were top four seed for 3 months last year. There's no reason that kind of thing can't happen again. Every team, I think, is going to go through the ebbs and flows. We've seen some teams like Portland get off to a great start to the season, right? 10-3. As soon as they go on the road, they've lost to the Lakers. Now they've lost to us. Now they got to go to the East Coast. Then they come back Central. Then they go back West. Look, they're gonna go through their bumps too. This thing is wide open, and no one other than Golden State at the top, and maybe Phoenix at the bottom. Dallas is still hanging around, only a game, behind the Timberwolves. But probably Dallas will drop out too. I would say everybody else is going to be in the mix. So I think that should give this team tremendous confidence, knowing that, hey, if we put it together, we play like this, we can make a move and compete in this conference.
And when you look at the standings, it almost seems like at certain points it should be flipped. Like, we shouldn't be seeing the L.A. Lakers, the L.A. Clippers, the Memphis Grizzlies in that top eight. We should be seeing San Antonio, Houston, Utah. And those teams are on the outside looking in right now. And you have to imagine, like, to your point, that teams are going to go on a run. You have to imagine San Antonio is going to go on a run. As Jeff Bizdelic rejoins the Houston Rockets as their defensive coordinator after Thanksgiving full-time, will their defense come together now that they've parted with Melo? They've won three straight. Will they go on a run? Minnesota's on a three-game win streak. They've got a couple left at home, like we've talked about. They can make a surge. How long can the LA Lakers on the shoulders of LeBron hang in that playoff picture? How long can the collective group of the LA Clippers continue to play, you know, as a sum of all their parts and not what their parts are?
Yeah.
I just feel like at some point you're going to see, I don't know if regression to the mean is the right thing, but you're going to see things flipped a little bit.
And Utah is not going to stay at 7-8. They're too good defensively, I think, to be an under 500 team.
But they can't score.
It's been a big issue right now.
They
have Donovan Mitchell, and they don't have a lot of other offensive weapons, and they're feeling that right now. And I think you're right about LeBron. He's realizing he came in here, put up really good numbers, and lost a game. And I said on the broadcast that those were good enough numbers to win in the Eastern Conference.
Well, and
it's
I don't think
in the West. And he had to put up 44 points, 10 rebounds, 9 assists to get by Portland on Wednesday. That may be what it takes. I don't think he can go through the whole year putting up those type of numbers to try to win the games necessary in the West to be maybe a top four seed. Maybe they get in a little bit lower, but it's going to take a monumental effort for LeBron James.
Well, and I don't think anybody
LeBron,
should.
LeBron will have to play the same way he played last year, really, to get them to have a chance.
Well, obviously, he carried the Cleveland Cavaliers into the finals for the fourth straight year. Thanks for the call, Mazur. Again, this is the T-Wolves Howland Show. Give us a ring, 651-989-9226 or 866-989-9226. But guys, you can't ever overreact to the standings in mid-November, because right now you have four playoff teams a year ago, San Antonio, Houston, Utah, and Minnesota, that wouldn't be in the postseason now if the season ended. But as we know, there's a lot of basketball left to be played. And the Timberwolves, for all the turbulence they've had out of the gate, they're only a game and a half behind the eighth seed, the New Orleans Pelicans. So there's a lot of basketball left, and a lot of good things can happen if the Timberwolves continue to have this positive mojo.
Yeah, it's kind of funny, too, when you just talk about, not overreacting. And I think it's tough as fans and, certainly as broadcasters, you look around the league and you see some numbers that just leave you scratching your head. And I mentioned Utah not being able to score. I mean, the Dallas Mavericks, who are 6-8 on the season, held Utah to 68 points the other night. And it's not like Dallas is the Memphis Grizzlies, who are a very good defensive team. This is a Dallas team that, many expected to be sort of in rebuild mode, yet they stepped up and beat the Utah Jazz. We're seeing some huge peaks and valleys, whether you're seeing teams put up a ton of points or you're seeing teams struggle like Utah. You go back to Minnesota at Portland when they scored just 81 points. There are a lot of there's a lot of volatility early on in this season.
Yeah, no question. And Alan and John, we have somebody who has texted in at 81807. So what's going on with the Golden State Warriors right now? They've had a little locker room problems, it seems like. Also, they lost tonight big time to the Houston Rockets. Well documented with the Draymond Green and KD the other night. Steve Kerr says they can fix it, but they do need to fix it. Do you read a lot into this, or is this just a bump in the road?
I think it's still yet to be determined. It's you want to say it's just guys who have just got riding on each other and there's frustrations spilled over, but there were some pretty serious things said by Draymond Green questioning Kevin Durant's future and why he hasn't committed to this team and how his looming free agency kind of is hovering over this team. And I think there are guys on the Warriors team that feel the exact same way. I think there are some people in the organization who feel that Kevin Durant has kind of held them hostage a little bit. But I think when all is said and done, even if this does cause a little bit of disruption, they're too good to let it affect them. And I don't think anything changes. A lot of people are saying, well, maybe you trade Draymond Green now. They've got too good a thing going right now. They're too talented, and they're going to be a shoe-in for the finals again and for the title again. But I think it is interesting to see this happen, and I think everybody around the league is just sort of watching that and going, finally chuckling, because so many organizations, I think, they've got some feelings toward Golden State and how they were able to put together their team, even though it was done completely legally and it was just a happenstance that the way the salary cap jumped that one big year allowed them to add Kevin Durant. So it's really the league's own fault and the CBA or the Players Association for not smoothing out the cap on a rise. But I think it is kind of fun to see the best team actually have to go through some of these things.
Two things about Golden State. Number one, I thought Steve Kerr had a great line post game last night after their loss to the Houston Rockets. He said, "We're banged up a little bit physically. We're banged up a little bit spiritually. We need to fill our cup." And you think of just kind of what that means and his approach to this. And then during that altercation between Draymond Green and Kevin Durant, I mean, if you want to just kind of scratch your head at a moment and say, how confusing is this? The guy that was counseling Draymond Green, that was DeMarcus Cousins.
What are you saying?
I'm saying that one of the most volatile players over the last few years is trying to calm down one of the more volatile players. It was just an interesting moment and a juxtaposition to see, DeMarcus there coming back from the injury, dressed very dapper on the sideline with an arm around Draymond Green, and those two discussing things after that blow up, and DeMarcus trying to calm down Draymond. It was something I was not prepared for.
John, when you put on the Gucci T-shirt like DeMarcus Cousins did, it brings you to a whole nother level as a human being, and you're able to now converse intelligently and talk in a calm manner to your teammates. It's a very calming thing.
So the Gucci shirt has a calming effect?
It does. He's going to wear it under his jersey from now on for the rest of his career.
Boogie the Peacemaker. Who would have thunk it? And by the way, Golden State, with all the issues swirling around that franchise, still 12-4, tied with Toronto, best record in the NBA. So to Alan's point, they're probably a slam dunk to get back to the finals and maybe win it again in three-peat. Stick around. We got to take a break. One more segment to go. This is the Howland Show post-game to the post-game on CCO. It's the Timberwolves Howland Show, the post-game to the post-game, final minutes of this edition of the Howland. Minnesota 112, Portland 96. John Foakey, Alan Horton, Eric Nelson with you. Let's go right to the phone lines after a Wolves win over the Blazers And, gentlemen, we have Kyle in New Market. He wants to talk about the young rookie Josh Okogie, who didn't play a lot tonight, but when he does play, he's been impressive.
Yeah,
Kyle, how you doing?
Guys, how are we doing tonight?
Great, good. Kyle.
Good. Yeah, I'm curious as to why. I got three things. Okogie was noticeably not out there tonight. I think Rose is out there too much, given the score. And do you think Rose takes over Teague's spot?
Okay, let's start with Josh Okogie. Listen, in Monday's game, we didn't have Jimmy Butler, and the rotation was nine deep. We know Tom Thibodeau likes to go nine deep. He's comfortable with that rotation. He thinks going any use too many guys, and then the guys you're playing can't get in a rhythm because they're not playing enough. So nine is the number he's normally going to go with. So when you got to Wednesday's game, we wondered who the two guys would be that would be out of the rotation. And Derrick Rose was hurt for that game, so that made it down to one spot. So Anthony Tolliver was the odd man out when you work in Covington, you work in Šarić. And then tonight you wondered, okay, who would be the guy tonight? And it was Josh Okogie. Look, I think there's going to be plenty of opportunity for all of these guys. I think right now it's a little frustrating not to see Josh or to see Anthony Tolliver, who has done nothing wrong. And Anthony Tolliver's exactly the guy that you thought you were bringing in. He's been spot on exactly what you wanted, and you couldn't hope for anything more from him. It's just a numbers game at this point. Now, will that change going forward? Absolutely. There are going to be injuries. There are going to be you might see another deal at some point during the season. So I think it's better to have too many options than too few. And I think we should be focused probably on just the winning right now in the rotations. Look, Josh is going to be fine. He's going to be a big part of this franchise going forward. And Rose handles the ball a lot, and he got a lot of minutes tonight. I think that's mostly because Robert Covington got into foul difficulty, and there was an opportunity to get Josh Okogie in the game, especially in that second half when Covington came out. You could have gone to Josh. Instead, he rode with Rose, and that's, I think, why Rose played 34 minutes tonight. Does Rose supplant Jeff Teague at the point? I don't think so. I think they've got the way they've got it right now with Rose coming off the bench, I think that's where he thrives the best.
Well, and you think about what Rose brings to this team in terms of pushing the pace with that second unit in a fast break situation, breaking down the defense, finishing at the rim. Those are different qualities than what Jeff Teague brings to this team. And so you want to try to have as much balance and versatility as you can. I love the fact that you can play those guys together. You can play them separately, and they both thrive. And so I think what Derek brings, whether he's in the starting lineup or coming off the bench, is a big asset to this team. He was 0-for-1 shooting from beyond the arc tonight, though. That was a head-scratcher after how red-hot he's been.
Guys, we're out of time. As always, it's been fun. We'll do it again soon. Wolves win it 112-96 in a quick game, 1 hour, 58 minutes at Target Center. Thanks for listening. This has been the Timberwolves Allen Show, post-game to the post-game on CCO.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.